You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Amos, if you would please, and chapter 5. And in our Wednesday studies, we've been looking at God's person, seeking to understand and appreciate God all the better. And we're doing that, have been doing that by his names. God gives his names systematically at the right occasion throughout history to fit the occasions. We're able to capitalize on all of those occasions and all of those names. So, in doing so, and we shared together last time, the Lord of Hosts, Tisvaoth, host, plural, the Lord of Hosts. And thus, we looked at that, and we shared together that if you were to look at it, and you would find that the host, we're going to look at it in a minute, has to do with that, to assemble together, to bring together. And thus it would be translated army, war, in military service, etc. And it's used of the Lord who is the Lord of hosts, obviously. And thus you won't find that personalized, the Lord of hosts, till you come to Samuel a little bit. And then when you come in big time to Isaiah and Jeremiah, and all the way to Malachi, big time. Because Israel has left God out of the picture. And God is making it known everything he says most of the time to Israel. It is the Lord of hosts who tells you this. I am in charge of everything. Stars, sun, moon, everything. And I want you to know that because you've singled yourself down, that we can have a king like everybody else, a government like everybody else, more or less, and we can do like the world does, and we'll get along pretty well. With the world, maybe, but not with God. So now, God, in order to counter that, of all his different names, he comes along now with the Lord of Hosts. He's the Lord of Hosts, the sovereign Almighty God. He's the Lord of everything, everywhere, anyhow. And so, talking to his people to encourage them by way of Isaiah, Jeremiah, etc., he uses that expression, that term. And he uses it over and over again, time and time again. So now, having said that, I want to illustrate that part of it a little bit. Here in Amos in chapter 5, picking up, if I can, in verse 14. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. Remember now, Amos is living, the 10 tribes in the north are up there, and the 2 tribes in the south. And Amos is living, he's the prophet, looking, here's the 10 tribes in the north, and your 722 is coming up, but it isn't there yet, and Amos is right in here, about 760, right in here, and he's telling Israel that they needed to get on the ball among the rest of the world, the rest of Judah, etc. So here in chapter 5 of Amos, Assyrian captivity hasn't happened yet. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as you have spoken. Hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment in the gate, that it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Verse 16, therefore the Lord God of hosts, the Lord saith, thus wailing shall be in all streets, they shall say in all highways, alas, alas, And they shall call the husbandman, the farmer, to mourning, and as such as are skillful, the professional workers, skillful in mourning, I should say, professional mourners, better, skillful of lamentation and wailing. In other words, there's going to be a terrible time coming up, a serious coming. And I warn you, because you wanted to do your own king, your own priest, your own everything. So therefore, I warn you, verse 27, therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God, whose name is the God of hosts. I'm the one, he said. So I want you to know that you think you can be in charge or someone else is in charge. I'm in charge. Everyone, everywhere, everything, sun, moon, stars, angels, they're all under my command. All under my command. So having said that, and we looked at that, so now I thought it might be helpful to go back before Isaiah and that, just for the sake of education and helpfulness. I'm interested, if I may, of Israel before he used the term God, the Lord of hosts, for himself, when God wasn't using it for himself. He was using it for Israel. He didn't use the term God of hosts. Why not? Over, if you would. Exodus, if I may, chapter 6. And I was there. I'm going to pick it up very quickly, but let me just take you inch by inch here so you get it, so there's no question that you get the flavor of the word. Exodus and chapter 6 and in verse 26. These are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. Now that's the word host. Armies. Israel. Israel exited out of Egypt orderly as an army, marching. Just think, over 2 million people and everything, orderly marching. Now, chapter 7, verse 4 again. And Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine, M-I-N-E, mine armies. Mine. God said, that's my host. He isn't saying the Lord of hosts, that's my host. Israel is my army, my host. Over, if you would, in verse, chapter 12. Chapter 12, and picking up, please, in verse 17. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies, there's your word, out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by the ordinance, by an ordinance forever. Verse 41. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord, all of those that belonged to God, went out from the land of Egypt. Israel is the Lord of hosts. Israel is his army. Verse 51. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. By their armies. They came out, armies. Each group came out, orderly. Each rank, each division came out. And you can think of that many people, what a long line. And what a lot of people. Now, over if you would to Numbers chapter 33. On your way there, stop at the first chapter, just for the sake of it didn't feel neglected. Numbers chapter 1, verse 3. But from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war. That's your word host, war. In Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. That's the word again, host, host. War, armies. Israel is God's host, God's army, and God rescues them out of the land of Egypt. Now, in doing so, that's God. Here's all the nations. Here they are, and God's instrument is Israel. And God is focusing, so the world will know, Israel will know, my army's coming, I am the commander-in-chief. I am the Lord of my army. I am the general of my army. Here comes my army, world take note. Now, over if you would, in your Bible, to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy in chapter 4. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, picking up, please, if I may, in verse 37, and just an item, Israel was led out of Egypt into the wilderness. They spent time there, and then they went into the land. The whole project from the day they left Egypt was to leave Egypt, pass through wilderness journey, Sinai, and get to the land. So God brought them out. For what reason? To bring them in. Hang on to that. Verse 37, 4 and 37. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. So he brought them out with a specific direction, intention of bringing them in. That was what God was doing. And they didn't particularly want to get out, remember. But God brought them out. God made it so they had to move. Time was time, ready or not, God was moving. Now, hang on to that thought. Over, if you would please, to Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 1, remember now, Joshua is to go forward and to take the land. He brought them out to bring them in. So now, having said all that, and he's the Lord of hosts, so, and as Israel is God's army, it's God's host. So now, Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. So, as they would march forward into the land, all of that land, remember, all the way from the sea to the Euphrates River, God had given that to Israel. And every place where they would put their foot down, that would be theirs. God had already given it to them. And so there's no question about it. It's just where you put your, no matter who was there, no matter how big the giants were, the chariots were, no matter what the obstacles were, no matter the opponents, didn't make any difference. God gave them the land, so they could certainly take it. God gave it, promised it. Now, having said that, and in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now, this is Joshua now. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So I want you to know that as I was with Moses, Now, how did you get across? How did you get across the Red Sea? I was with Moses, and Moses and God combined, we crossed the Red Sea. Now, as I was with Moses, so am I with you. Now, how are we going to get into the land? How are we going to get in there? The same way Moses did, by faith. Moses trusted God, looked to God by faith. The people weren't. Moses did. And God opened the sea. And Joshua, what are you going to do? You're going to go and get into the land of Palestine. You're going to go how? By looking to God by faith. And you're going to trust God, and God's going to open the Jordan River. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, remember now, it took a while to get the message. It was as easy to cross the Jordan as it was to get out of to cross the Red Sea. And they had to do it the same way. It didn't matter what it was, Red Sea, the Jordan River. It was just as easy to cross the Red Sea as it would be to cross the Jordan River by faith. Trusting God, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. Now, going on a little further in it. In verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So, here's the question that we come up. God said, have not I commanded thee? And so, in the light of the business of God's having commanded, God, why are we going to be strong? Why are we not going to be afraid? Why are we going to proceed? Why are we going to do anything? Why? Because I said so. That's why. And that never changes. And our Lord practiced that. I always do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So what's the secret of going through life, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? What is it? Pay attention to God's person, presence, power, and word. Pay attention to God. If I commanded you, that's the why. Now what about how? Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? How am I going to do so? Well, because you said so. Be not afraid, because you said so. Don't be dismayed. God, you said so. How so? How can it be? The Lord is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I'm the one that told you, and I'm the one that stays with you. And that's all you want to know. I told you to do it, and I'm right there to tell you how to do it. So I don't want to have any more discussion about it. I want you just to, here, hold your finger here so you see it. Over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'll read verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. As I was with Moses, so I am with you, Joshua. I sent Moses, and I'm sending you. Here's our Lord. He that sent me, that is the Father, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. God, how are we going to do it? I'm the one that told you, and I'm the one that's with you. That's how. That's how you're going to do anything. Anything. And our Lord is the wonderful, perfect example. God said it. God's there. God's with you, the Lord of hosts. Go do it. Go do it. Say, well, but, more than now. That's what God said. They're going to complicate it and put a whole lot of things in there that God never said. God just made it very simple. If you want to be strong and good courage, you don't want to be afraid, you want to accomplish what I want, then I'm just pay attention because I told you that's the reason you're going to do it. Why do I have to do that, Mommy? Because, whatever. And you'd always say, you know, in the home, for believers, if you're a believer and all that stuff, and in the home, we'd say, well, you know, we're trying to honor God's person and presence in the home. And if you have any argument with what we're trying to do, here's God's word, and here's the book. Here's God. You tell him. You got a problem with it? We're believers. You're fortunate to be in my home as a believer. We represent God and represent his word in his presence. Now, if you don't like that, that's too bad. That's where we are. And if you don't, you'll have a problem. Go to God. Because God, if you can get God to tell us, we'll honor him. You see? Have God explain it to us. And you bring us that book that's in your hand and show us. And we'll be glad to honor. If God said it, we're obligated to do it. That's all. And that ends the whole case. You can do whatever you want. Like it or lump it. You know, whatever. And that's where you are. And then I'm off the hook. It isn't me. I'm a believer. I honor God. And my little kids growing up, it's God. God. You answer to God. I answer to God. And you teach the children to what? That you answer to God, and so do they. And that's how they grow. Go forward. See, you didn't ask whether it was nice or you like it or whether other kids do it or don't do it. It's immaterial. Immaterial. God, we want something that only you can do. The world's out there, and we're going to honor you, as it were. You are the Lord of hosts. Now, having said that, so God is with you wherever you go. Now, having over you, Joshua, chapter 2, and picking up, please, in chapter 2, all going to just get a little flavor of it. Remember, Rahab and all of that hid the two spies, and certainly Joshua learned, remember, they had 12 spies that went into the land to search it out for 40 days and nights. And the 12 spies, and 10 of them said nothing doing, and Joshua and Caleb were the only two. So this time, how many are we going to send in, Joshua? 2. No more 12. No more 12. It doesn't come out good. We're going to send 2, and you'll notice it. Joshua 2:1, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, etc. Now, verse 9. And before they were laid down, remember, they have the Jerichoites, people in Jericho, they had a wonderful CIA spy system. They were able to know everything, anything, like many countries even today. Everything that's going on under the covers and all over, they're paying attention. So when the 2 spies came into the city, they were told 2 foreigners have entered the city. And then they're all searching. The teams are all out to find them. And they find it's Rahab's house. They're in Rahab's house. And so Rahab hid them under the stalks, remember? And hid them under the stalks of the harvest up in the attic up there on the roof. And hid them under that. And thus they didn't find them. But, now listen to this. You know it. In verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. That's 40 years ago. And we've been afraid for 40 years. You could have come here 40 years ago and we would have surrendered. We would have surrendered. We knew. How can we compete with a God who opens the Red Sea? And everyone knew it. Now hang on to lock that in. We have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, that what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. For as soon as, verse 11, for as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. And 40 years ago, we would have surrendered. How easy it would have been. How easy it would have been. But you didn't do well. And thus, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. And what took them 40 years before they got out onto the Jordan River to cross it? Joshua did it in 3 days. What took Moses 40 years? Joshua did it in 3 days. 3 days. They were across the Jordan. How come? Joshua had learned the lesson. And he had got the lesson. And that's what we're trying to pick up. Why? Why do you do anything? Because God said so. How do we do it? God's with us. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. That's how you're going to do it. Now, hang on. Over, if you would, please. Over in your Bible. Over to, before we, hold your finger right here, and go to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. Remember, the Lord is there, and therefore you need to be a cooperating co-laborer, willing partner. You weren't looking for God's wonderful words. He says it, you can do it. He's there to help you make it happen. He has a wonderful program. Awesome power. Wonderful management of everything. Every bug, every disease, every person, every star, every mouse, every animal, every bird, every person, every government, every inner sanctum where all the rooms are, where all the world, the government, politics, and the back rooms, you know. God has it, everything. Oh. Then, therefore, we need to pay attention. Now, Israel, if you don't, you lose, because Psalm 81, verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange god. Why not? For I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. I'm the Lord of hosts. Out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it. I just ask you to be like a little bird and take my tender loving care and open your mouth and let the little bird be fed and let you be fed. I'll feed you. I'll keep your heart right. And if you don't do that, verse 11, but my people would not listen to my voice, my word. Therefore they didn't know what to do and they didn't know how to do it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So the two things, they didn't, how do we pay attention to what I say? And how are we going to do it? I'm with you. But they didn't want what I said, and they didn't want me with them. Two things. They didn't want either one of them. That would have worked. They didn't want to listen to me, and they didn't want me around. They'd go take a walk, like Amos would say. They said to Amos, go out and talk to the cockroaches out there. Don't tell us. Wow. Now, so, verse 12. So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, but Israel walked in my ways. I should have subdued their enemies, turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them, or would have fed them, with the finest of the wheat, with honey out of the rock. Should I and would I have satisfied thee? And I would have done it. All you had to do was pay attention to what I said and remember I was with you. That's all you had to know. Don't make a big deal. Just follow it. Follow it. Now, back over to Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. Now remember, Joshua has to go and survey they're on the other side of the Jordan, Gilgal, and right down here, you can look off there from the hill, the high place, and there's Jericho. Big, huge walls. Big walls. How are you going to get through them? Wow. Big walls. Now, and so Joshua has to go and survey the land. And survey what he's up against. What do we need? Ladders? Are we going to need big things to throw giant rocks at to break the wall down? Is there a way to get through this massive wall to get Jericho? That's our objective. Jericho is, and that's our first opponent. As we go forward, there's Jericho. You can't go anywhere without passing Jericho with all of its military, etc. So here we're looking at God's care he's looking at it, and that you want to keep that in mind so that he isn't. He's going to go, and they're there to conquer the land. They're there to possess the land. That's why they're there. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. So that's what it is, and part of it is Jericho. So now, having said that, verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? Now, here's looking at the camp, and in doing so, Joshua needs instruction. He's trying to figure out how to go to battle. He needs the battle plan, and the process, though, he's trying to conjure up one, and here is this man, actually the pre-incarnate Christ, as you'd see. And thus, he lifted up his eyes, and there was a man standing upright, standing there, to help, assist, to aid, to answer, to defend, and was standing before him, a direct opposite of where he was looking. And in standing direct opposite, and he was standing there with his sword drawn. His sword was drawn. Now, that means sword is taken out of the sheath, and when your sword is drawn, it means, the verb, an armed man ready to go to fight to war. The person's sword is drawn, he's armed, and ready to go to fight to war. So he sees the man standing, and in doing so, the man has got his sword drawn, and there it is, drawn up, and he's holding the sword and to go and exercise it. Now, in verse 13, and in standing, and he stood there, you know, and he's standing there, condition isn't changing, the sword doesn't get put in a sheath, there is no talking to surrender about the sword stays right there, sword doesn't go back, God doesn't put the sword away, not at all. So now, because Israel, he's the commander-in-chief of the host of Israel, Israel is God's army, and he's the commander. And now they're ready to move after 40 years. They're ready to move. And so the general, the commander, steps forward and says, I'm in charge. I'm the Lord of hosts. I'm the Lord of Israel's army. And Joshua had no problem with that whatsoever. None whatsoever. And Joshua said unto him to identify, to make sure. He said unto him, Art thou for us? Or are you for our adversaries? Who are you for? Which side are you for? You know, are you friend or foe? I need to identify clearly who it is that's in front of me. And thus, God's warning and God's winning of his heart. And he said, verse 14, he said, Nay, but as captain, general ruler, the top one, captain of the host, that's Israel's army, of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? The minute he said, I am the captain of the host, I'm the captain of the army. Joshua, I'm your supreme commander. I am the supreme commander. And I am not come for them. I'm not come for you. I've come to take over. I'm the general. I came to take over. I'm the captain of the host. I'm the captain of this army. I will now exercise my power. You're my instrument. You're an instrument, an army, and I'm going to use you in a most wonderful way. But I want you to know, I'm for the outworking of God's wonderful plan and purpose. All that he says, do it. Why? Because he's with you. That's why you're going to do it. So now, looking to God, I am come to take over. I am the commander in chief, and that's why I'm now here. I'm now here because it's time to go to war. And if you're going to win the war, you're going to have me. You can't possibly win this war. There's no way. So, in the light of that, then you say, if there's any question, who is in charge? Joshua now knows who's in charge. There's a wonderful God. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. And Joshua's standing, and all of a sudden, here he is. Here he is to help us. That's right. And he's in. He's going to have a good work. Is God's good will. It's in God's place. Jericho is there in front of you with its walls. And what do you have, a battering ram? You have a catapult? What do you have to get it down? Well, Joshua isn't even thinking of that now. You don't have to think how to knock the wall down, because the commander-in-chief is going to call the shots on whatever happens. So here's Jericho. Jericho is a terrible, terrible obstacle for all those people still. It's a big obstacle to even try to consider, with no catapults, etc. None. We just crossed the Jordan River. What do we have? No, God. And God, what do the people need to know? What does Joshua need to know? Jericho isn't the people of Israel's problem. Jericho is God's problem. If you're going to move in the good will of God, the problems aren't yours. The problems are God's. If you're going to stay in the will of God, then any opposition to what is there is in standing in the way of God's will. Jericho isn't Israel's problem. It is God's. And when you start claiming problems that belong to God, you can see what your resources are going to try to do. Because you're going to take the wall down. You're going to try to work. How many lives are we going to lose? How much time is it going to take? And we have all the things. Well, can we win? Can we lose? I don't know. But all of a sudden it isn't. None of those questions are arising. Why? Because it's God's problem. Wow. And thus it's God's resources. All the way. Israel is existing by God for God. You came to know the Lord as your personal Savior, I trust. And if you did, you're bought with a price, which you know. And you are not your own. You are here, without getting into it, you are here for God's glory, for God's will, for God's good will and God's good work. Work out your own, what? Salvation with fear and trembling. That's what your job is. Well, how am I going to do that with all the stuff's there? You're right. And by the way, Joshua, that land that I have for you in Palestine, from Mediterranean to the Euphrates River over there, all of that is my land. In fact, I own all the land. I own all the land everywhere. Every earthling is only a tenant on my property for a little while. And I can move them around, and I have historically, as I needed to. They corrupted the land, and we remove them. A generation rises, 1, 2, 3, 4, and it gets worse, 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 and worse, and God moves them. They're defeated by somebody else. Somebody else comes in and starts all over again. Now, having said that, God's territory. So every place that the sole of my foot, thy foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. Now, I want you to go, because I said so, that's why. How am I going to do it? Because I'm with you. And I want you to go, and I don't want you to get discouraged, as we read in Joshua 1 and verse 9. Don't get dispirited, disappointed, afraid. I'm with you, whithersoever you go. Every place that the sole of your foot shall land upon, that have I given you. Now we can say, well, God, what is your will for my life? What piece of property do I have? Where does it begin and where does it end? Where does my property line end? Where does yours end? Where does yours even begin, you say? Well, I own a house lot, 100 by 150. But that isn't your house lot. It belongs to God. Now, I know the city will tax you, but God is going to take care of the city too. So be of good cheer. God's going to fix the whole thing. It's all my property. So now, having said that, God, and we're going to look to you, and we're going to have to, you're going to have to help us, because the property belongs to you, and we're on it. But God, what is the will? My will, God, your will for our life, believer's life, is to glorify me, to honor me, wherever you go. And you know it if you took time to read in 2 Corinthians 2:14, etc., etc., etc. Like Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. And 2 Corinthians 2:14, and now thanks be unto God, which causes us to triumph every single step you take down any street of Rome, wherever you go. You are more than, Romans 8:37, you are more than a what? Conqueror. No matter where you go. So here I am. God, I want to outlive my life in all the ups and downs, the easy, the hard. God, and I don't want to make a mistake and think that I got to fix the Jerichos and overcome them in and of by myself. No, I don't need to do that. Not at all. Now, and so having said that, I don't want to be disappointed. Will God ever disappoint you if you trust him? That's the question. He that believeth on him shall never be disappointed. Panic, be ashamed. Will God ever be disappointed? Will you ever be disappointed because you trusted in God? No. All right. In the light of that, could you be disappointing to God? Could you be disappointing to God? Now, from a human standpoint, you could be. Absolutely. We are one, not you, but people are very disappointing to people, but not to God. Why not? Because God said, without me, you can do how much? Nothing. I don't expect a thing out of you. But I'm going to give you my... I don't expect a thing out of you at all. But God, if you just look down in here, you're going to find something good over here. A little bit of good over here, God. Watch my devotion, my sincerity, my commitment. What commitment? What sincerity? If it's all generated by you, it's no better than you are. And isn't going to go anywhere. I'm never going to be disappointed in you. I already showed how I thought about it. I crucified you. I crucified you from the day you were born to the day you die. I took your whole life. If I didn't do that, you could never be saved. Ever. So I'm not disappointed. You're disappointed in yourself. That's the trouble. Now, and you're looking for something out of you that you can't produce. I can't produce it. Over if you would please. I hope you got a little. Over if... That is a good thought. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. We were here last time. Just read it again now in the light of what we just tried to look at. Psalm 46. God is a refuge, verse 1, a strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. No, don't be afraid, Joshua. Don't be dismayed. Though the earth be removed, that's certainly critical. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, that certainly is going to cause a lot of tsunamis or tsunamis or whatever they are, tidal waves, you know. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake into the swelling with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river and stream whereof you shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen will rage, be in great uproar. The kingdoms are going to be moved and shuffled around. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts, there's your term, words. The Lord of hosts, there's your name. The Lord of hosts is, what's the little W-I-T-H? What's that? Joshua 1:9. How am I going to do it? I'm going to be with you. How are you going to do it? I'm going to do it because you said it. How am I going to do it? I'm with you. Got it? Let's see how it goes. Verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Skipping to verse 10 again. We still know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. And by the way, how are we going to close? The Lord of hosts, there's your words, the name, is with us. Uh-huh. And the God of Jacob is our refuge. That's why. God, you're going to be with us. That's right. I'll never leave thee, nor. If God be for us, Romans 8:31, if God be for us, what? Who can be against us? Either he's with us or he's not. Either I'm with him or he's not. That's all. I mean, you're going to do it or not. So you get all tied up in yourself and everything, but you'll never win. You'll never win because you're so busy with yourself. You have no time to be busy with God. And you need to rest in God. You have no fun traveling through life if you don't have a great God. So you have to carry everything. You know, you carry everything, it gets very heavy. It gets very heavy. And say, I'm only 10 years old. Well, give yourself 10 more years and we'll double, triple, quadruple the load. And where the society's going, you don't have to wait to be 50 to feel the problems of a normal leveled history of 50. You're going to be feeling the problems like this exponentially. At 12, you have to figure out, what am I going to do with my life? You know, How's my life going to go? What about this and what about that? You lost the enjoyment of just being alive. I had a lady today in leaving my little exercise room there, and she said, you know, she's an older lady, she said, you know, if we follow all this stuff, you can't eat this, and you have to eat that, and you have to get this, and sit there and do that, and, you know, and eat three peanuts, and run around here, and make sure you get your heart rate up to 7,000 beats per second, and everything going. And she said, who can enjoy life? And she said, I want to live. I said, I agree. I said, we're going to live together, you see. We're going to live together. Whether we lose or win, we're going to go. You know, we're going down the corridor of time. Listen, it's about life. It isn't about putting yourself in a box. You gotta do this and that. You won't enjoy it. Family, friends, foe, they'll all kill you. The mind comes in the mind. The mind gets all over the place. And then you're trying to work it all out. And God never told you they had to do that. He said you had to walk by faith and not by sight. That's what he said. He said, as you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how you're going to live your life. That's how you got saved. You yielded your heart and believed me and got saved. And that's how you're going to live your life. As simply as you got saved. As simply as you crossed the Red Sea. As simply as you get across the Jordan. As simply as you can conquer all the enemies. Not a problem. It's only a problem when you eliminate God. And then everything's a problem. What do you think? Perhaps you have a particular